The word today is prayer. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, Jesus taught them the prayer we have recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6. It's a beautiful prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Here from our archives, to begin leading us through it step by step, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Prayer.
I looked back in my records before this broadcast, and it's been 85 weeks since I spoke to you about prayer. You realize that's over a year and a half ago? I was shocked. My goodness, I was shocked, because I thought, well, I must have been talking about prayer somewhere along the line this year, and I look back, I haven't even mentioned this year prayer. And I made up my mind, this is such an important topic, I better get at it, and so I'm going to be talking about prayer today. And even more specifically, I'm going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught when the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, all right, I'll give you a little primer, a little course here. This is how you should pray. And what he taught the disciples, what he taught is what we now call the Lord's Prayer. You know, it begins with the words, Our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus wanted very much for us to understand that God wants to be approached by us as if he were our Father, as if he loved us, a loving relationship. Now, I realize in our culture, and this broadcast goes all over the world, China, India, Africa, everywhere, that there are many cultures and there are many situations within those cultures, and I'm certainly including America here, that people find themselves kind of hating their father. Maybe the father deserted them when they were 5 years old. Maybe they don't even know their earth father. Maybe they were born out of wedlock, and maybe now they're teenagers, or maybe they're older, and they say, well, I sure don't think much of my father. He deserted my mother even before I was born, or he deserted my mother later in years, and they feel disgust and negativity toward their father. Well, that isn't at all what Jesus has in mind here. And Jesus is picturing for us a family relationship in which the Father is there. And he is loving. And he is kind. And he is protective. He protects his wife and his children. And he does things to show that he loves them. He, for instance, has a system in place that if there's ever a fire, he's told the children what to do so that they can escape without being burned. If he is driving the car and he sees a drunken driver on the road, he will point it out and he says, we got to slow down. We got to get away from this guy because he could hit us. He could cause us harm. And so he teaches his little tiny children when they're first learning how to walk on the sidewalk and how to cross the street. He teaches them. Now you turn your head to the right and you look and you watch to see if there's a car or a truck coming, and then you turn and you look the other way and you see if there's any car or truck coming that way, and only when you're sure that there's no traffic coming, only then do you cross the street. He is trying to show his love and his protection and his care. Now that's the kind of father image that God wants us to have when we pray to him. Our Father, our loving Father, our protective Father, our providing Father, our Father, to whom we belong, we come to you. We hallow your name. That's an unusual word. I don't think we use it very much in our modern day language, but I hope you know and understand it means holy. Holy is your name. We want to use your name, God, only when we're praising you and singing praise to you and songs, and when we are praying to you. We don't want to use your name in a careless and thoughtless way, in a way in which we curse or swear. We don't want to do that, God. And if that happens, please forgive us and get us back on the right track, that we hallow your name. And then we say something at the beginning of this prayer that we need to review in our minds. I feel very uncomfortable and very unhappy when someone begins to rattle off the Lord's Prayer as though they're going to a race, and they don't even give much thought to it. I like to say the Lord's Prayer slowly so that we can meditate and think about what we're saying. Now, the next phrase in our Lord's Prayer that he taught us is that we are to say, "Thy kingdom come." Now, the kingdom of God is made up of three parts. And frankly, if you're praying so fast you can't even think about that and reflect on that, then you're not praying with very much determination, and you certainly aren't praying with much conscious thought. You might be just repeating words habitually that are meaningless because they don't come from your heart. It should be a request of God that his kingdom, all three parts, the kingdom of power, the kingdom of grace, and the kingdom of glory. Now, let's just think about that. Next time you say the prayer, you might just want to pause there and add a few sentences and say, "What I really mean, God, is may your kingdom of power come, because I know you're the almighty God. You are all-powerful, and I'm asking you in this prayer, God, that you will rule over all things." Sometimes we forget that, and we begin to think that things are out of control. Let's say a war that's going on, or let's say there's a problem, or there's a strike, or there's some activity like a hurricane or a cyclone or something, and we think God has lost control. God hasn't lost control. In fact, we're taught in the scriptures that God is in charge of all things. Even the weather obeys him. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be positive. We know that evil happens in this world, too, because we're living in a sinful world. There's sickness. There's accidents. There's death. There's all kinds of things that happen in this world by God's permissive will. We say in this same prayer, "Thy will be done." Well, there is a part of God's will that's permissive. He lets these things happen in order to grant us a free will. We have a free will. If you were to say to God, "Please, God, keep me from sinning," he'd have to strike you dead, because that's the only way he can keep you from sinning, because sin is so much a part of our lives. And so in his permissive will, let's say you were dumb enough to say, "God, I'm going to give you 3 seconds to change my mind, and I'm going to count to three, and if you don't change my mind, I'm going to swear." And so you count, 1, 2, 3, and then you swear. Do you realize how stupid that would be if you then said, "Well, that must be God's will, because he could have killed me if he wanted to"? You see, God gives us a freedom of will. And the reason for that, by the way, is that we can love. You could not love if you did not have a free will. No one can demand that you love them. You have to choose to love somebody. Well, God wants you to choose to love him. He doesn't want to demand and make you a robot and make you, when he presses a button, that you have to kneel, and he presses another button, you have to praise him. That's not free will. God wants you to have free will so that you can love and choose to love him. He wants you to love him, not feel as though you're a robot. And so he gives us freedom of the will. Well, now, in the kingdom of power, God has permissive things that happen, storms, cyclones, floods, all these things, wars. But his holy will is never violated. At the right time, when he chooses to end one of these disasters or to solve one of them or to stop one of them, he will. He will. His holy will is still in complete control. And so you're saying in the Lord's Prayer, "Your holy will, God, may your kingdom of power be done here on earth just like it is in heaven." And we repeat that later on when we talk about his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it's done perfectly in heaven. His will is never violated in heaven. Here on earth, we still have sin. Now, the other part of God's kingdom, let's not forget about the kingdom of grace. Grace always is a word you need to be reminded means a gift that's undeserved. We do not deserve it. We did not earn it. We cannot buy it. It can no way be ours unless it is freely given to us by God. And so that's the kingdom of grace. And the tangible way in which the kingdom of grace is revealed here on earth is the Holy Christian Church. You ought to be able to look at any Christian and see part of God's kingdom of grace by the way they are forgiving, by the way they worship and praise God, by the way they try to help the poor, by the way they're trying to lead a disciplined Christian life, by the way they fight against things that are immoral and fight against things that are wrong, by the way they take the correct position on things instead of immoral. And so you see a little bit of the kingdom of grace whenever you see the Holy Christian Church, especially when they gather to worship and praise God. And then the kingdom that is eternal, the kingdom that is the kingdom of glory. When we get to heaven, it'll be glorious, totally victorious. There'll be no sin there, perfect peace, happiness. It will be eternal without end. And so we pray that God's kingdom of power here on earth, God's kingdom of grace in the Holy Christian Church, and God's kingdom of glory, which will be eternity when we arrive there after our death, if we are believers, that all of his kingdoms will come. We're asking Jesus to come quickly, to put an end to this life, and to bring about eternity, because we're ready to live with him in heaven forever. So that's how we begin this prayer, and I will continue on our next broadcast to review some of the contents in the prayer that Jesus taught us. It's found in Matthew, the 6th chapter. I hope you'll take a look at Matthew 6 and solemnly pray this beautiful, beautiful prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.